Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
If someone knew everything about you, who your friends were, your family, how much you make, how much you owe, all your secrets, and they could use it against you, would you let them into your life, into your house? Of course not. The problem is, you already have.
Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. There's a brand new Chicago-based sci-fi crime drama premiering on Fox called Next. It stars John Slattery, and our guest tonight, Michael Mosley. Michael, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You know, I think I first saw you on two comedies, Scrubs and Sirens. I think that might have been my introduction to Michael Mosley.
That was. Yeah, Scrubs is the first time I got a regular job on a TV show. Bill Lawrence hired me for that one, which is fun. And then Sirens is, you know, I was born in Iowa, so my dad put a White Sox hat on my head when I was born. It wasn't an option. It wasn't a choice. That was just the way it was going to be.
Yeah.
So my heart's always been in Chicago. But when I got to shoot Sirens with my buddies Kevin Daniels and Kevin Bigley, that's when I really fell in love with it. I mean, we got to, you know, drive around in an ambulance and just crack each other up all day. It was so much fun.
Now, I was going to ask you, so you're a Midwest guy, you know, Cedar Falls. How did you get the acting bug? Like, how did that all start for you, Michael?
You know, my cousin, Brian Duffy, we were like little kids, and we used to just like, we used to do these like little radio, we'd like tape record like little stories, and we'd like interview each other and play characters. And that was when we were like kids. And then he went off and started getting into the local community theater, and I hadn't even considered it. And then I remember my mom was like, well, do you want to try it? And I auditioned for Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing. Do you remember this book from childhood?
Yeah. By the way, was that how old you were? Were you in fourth grade at that time, or were you in grammar school?
I was in sixth grade at the time. And right. I auditioned for this play. I didn't think I had a shot in hell, but they wanted me to play the lead, and I was terrified. I was like, no, I just want to be a pizza delivery guy or something this first time I try this thing. And my mom was like, and I had to call the director back. I was like, can I call you back, you know, which I think he was surprised by. And then and my mom was like, you know, don't be a baby, go do it, go try it. And so I did it, and that's kind of when I fell in love with it.
Ah, very cool.
In sixth grade. And then I started started watching older movies, and I remember starting to study it a little bit as a kid. You know, as I was getting older and more mature, I would like watch older movies. I remember reading Brando's book, Songs My Mother.
Oh yeah,
sang me or something like that. I forget what the name of that title is, but I just remember starting to kind of study it and take it seriously. And luckily, I had parents that didn't try to talk me out of it.
Was it on stage, movies, TV? What appealed to you more when you were starting out?
Well, as a kid in Iowa, all you have is the stage. All we have is the community theater. And so that was it. And I didn't know anything about cameras or sets or hair and makeup or any of that stuff until I got out of my acting school, the American Academy of Dramatic Arts in New York.
Yeah.
And started auditioning for TV stuff, you know? I mean, I don't even know if we did even much camera work out there. I mean, it's pretty intimidating the first time you get on a set and there's all these people that know what they're doing and you don't know what the hell's going on or where you're supposed to stand or if you're in anybody's way. You know what I mean? You feel like everybody, you're like, so that was kind of how it started.
And now here in Chicago and, you know, the show Next, it stars John Slattery. And I will tell you, and yourself, I ran into John at a restaurant in the city pre-pandemic when he was shooting the show. And I didn't even know about it at the time. And I was thrilled to hear that there's yet another television production happening right here in Chicago.
I'm glad you feel that way. You know, sometimes when the movies come into your neighborhood, it annoys people because there's trucks and stuff everywhere. Yeah. But I'm glad that you're excited. John's a cool dude, man.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm excited because it's bringing jobs to the city, number one, but it's showcasing our city. I mean, for all of us who are here, you know, unless the city's all, you know, the show's about the actual city itself and you can find and pick where the streets don't run the right way and all that other good stuff. But it's a showcase for the city of Chicago, and we really need that right now.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, I mean, it's good that, you know, I love working in Chicago. Chicago is a beautiful, beautiful town. It's great.
So tell us a little bit about this. Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. Tell me about the scenario surrounding Next and what the show's all about.
It's a show, basically, Flattery plays this dude. He's kind of like an Elon Musk, Steve Jobs, kind of Bill Gates kind of character who's like really wealthy, kind of cocky, and he's created this AI, but that he created it and then he decided that was a dumb idea and they tried to kind of snuff it out. Then he was kind of escorted out away from his company for reasons, and then the company decides to kind of try to bring back this AI. They decide to kind of give it new life. And then once this thing has life, it starts to kind of grow at like an amazing lightning pace, and they can't stop it, and it starts messing with people's lives, and it starts trying to preserve itself, and it realizes that to preserve itself, it has to destroy us.
Oh,
and so it's kind of like this, it's kind of like The Blob. It's like a thriller, but this thing is like everywhere. It's lifeless, it's bloodless, it's faceless, but it's like, it's coming, and it's getting bigger, and it's in your house, and you know what I'm saying? The call is coming from inside the house by the end. You know what I mean? It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, I mean, it's a relevant topic, like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just bought this new TV, and man, I don't know what it's doing. I think it can talk to my fridge. I think it can, there's like appliances
to your fridge.
I can hook it up. I'm like, why does my TV need to like be in touch with my Alexa? And you know, I was just like, it's very strange. You know, these things are really interconnected. It's getting, and we're very dependent on it. And it's kind of a strange existential whiplash we're going through right now with regards to kind of, we know these things are kind of all consuming, and yet I don't think we would ever entertain the idea of dumping them. You know what I mean?
It's
it's very strange.
No, but you're talking about the Alexa, you know, I'll just start talking to my son and it lights up, you know. Someone listening in? Is there like, so this is totally relevant because we're aware of certain things that pick up our voices and take our direction, but then there's things that we aren't, and it's really, we're in the middle of that right now.
Yeah, it's a very strange, it's a very, very strange time. I mean, remember when the phone rang and you just weren't home? Like, that was it. That was the only.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You just weren't home, so you didn't know you missed a call. Like, nothing happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's like crazy.
Well, it's great to have a new series and some new entertainment out there because we're all desperate for it. Obviously, we've been watching enough game shows and reality television to kill a horse. But then, you know, you guys pretty much wrapped up production really before the pandemic started. How was your experience here in Chicago pre-pandemic looting? Did you get to do some fun things, explore the city a little bit?
Always, I love that town, man. It was good. We wrapped up. We lucked out. We literally wrapped, and one of our producers was looking. I remember her. She was on set and she was looking ill. Oh. But back in the day, if you were sick, you went to work. There was no such thing as a sick day. You know
Very
what I mean?
True.
You don't
true.
Call in sick. You go to work.
Yeah.
You push through it. And so I didn't. Nobody blamed her. You know what I mean? She was like, she wasn't feeling well, but she was, you know, going to work, and then we got back to LA, and we found out that she had gotten the bug. So then we all quarantined for like 14 days because we didn't. That was when nobody knew what
kind of
corona was, and we were all really panicked. It was a tight one there.
Yeah,
she's okay. She's fine.
Great.
She's,
good.
She's totally fine.
Good. No, and you know what? It's, you know, I'm glad that the show is completely packaged. I know it was supposed to premiere last spring, so I'm glad they saved it because we're ready for some new fall television. Again, this new sci-fi crime drama is called Next, and it debuts Tuesday at 8 Central on Fox. Great talking to you, Michael.
Hey, thanks, Dave. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, bud. All right, top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN.